You're tuned to Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Perspectives, and joining us today is Izzy Mora from the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation, and they're here to talk about an event that's coming up August 24th, Keep On Dancing. Izzy, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule.
And thank you for having me here at KTEP. You know I'm a big fan of this station.
Well, thank you. And there are still a lot of misconceptions about cancer. I mean, people still see cancer as the big C. Cancer is just so, the variety is just incredible.
Sure. Unfortunately, multifaceted and there are multiple sites that can be where cancer can be had, and yes, it is for some people seen as a death sentence. But I think one of the things that we need to point to is that statistics point to, and I know I don't want to bore anybody with statistics, but it's a good hopeful number, and that is that there are at least 13 million cancer survivors in the United States today, which shows us that what we're doing is working. And part of that is great and more improved awareness about cancer and about the body and about having exams. And another thing is that when you have your exams early enough, then you are looking at early detection. Early detection of your cancer gives you a better fighting chance. So this is why we as a healthcare community, stress having your tests done, having your annual exams done. And then the other really important thing is that we are making really great strides medically in terms of treatment for cancer. Once upon a time, it was a death sentence, but now we see a lot of people managing and living beyond.
And, you know, you mentioned about regular checkups, et cetera. Unfortunately, in our culture, it's taboo, like for women to self-examine themselves because you're touching yourselves. Some instances also, the men will get upset because they don't want them to go get mammograms because they don't want anybody else touching their wives. Or the final one, and this is the big one that I hear all the time, is no news is good news. And if for some reason they go and they detect something, they'll beat themselves over the head and say, see, if I hadn't gone, I wouldn't have known anything and I wouldn't be worried.
Sure. Yeah. And those are all big realities. I think that part of the awareness portion is where we need to meet people, especially those that have some misconceptions about touching yourself and those kinds of things. I think that's where a lot of education is really important. There are several projects in the community. One of the ones that we fund through our granting program is the Cancer and Chronic Disease Consortium. They have a really nice cadre of promotoras that go out into the community. And this is not a clinical person talking to you. This is like your comadre. And they go into housing areas, public housing areas, and talk to women who are in the homes, who may be sheltered because they don't have transportation, because they have children that they have to care for during the day. And so they don't get a chance to get out and get the messages. And so they go to those individuals and they hold little talks and house parties and those kinds of things. And it's a great, really effective way to reach those individuals. And the one thing about education and that is really important, which is why one would want to have an educated patient or just an educated individual, is that when you know what is necessary, and when you can see, when literature teaches you or when talks or videos teach you that there is a possibility of survival, that it is not a death sentence, that then you can erase some of the fear. Fear a lot of times comes from what is unknown.
And sometimes As we talked about men earlier, you know, one of the things is the prostate cancer and the fact that the men need to be checked, I think, is it after 50?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they don't want to do that because they think, well, you know, it's embarrassing. It's evasive. But it's a medical procedure. It's nothing that, you know, is going on because the doctor just needs to do it every when you turn 50. And women go through a lot more invasive procedures. But if they don't take care of this soon enough, you know, it could be bad news, but it's very treatable.
Absolutely, especially prostate cancer. In a lot of cases, prostate cancer moves a little slowly. And so there is time for men to make decisions as to how they want to address it. And, you know, one of the initial starts or one of the advances that we've made in testing, which actually came from research through the American Cancer Society many years ago, is the PSA test or the prostate-specific antigen test. And this is an initial way, which is just a blood draw. And then that can tell you whether something is going wrong. And then maybe digital rectal exam will follow if there's something that comes up in that test. But there's at least an initial way to test that is not as invasive. It is a needle stick, but it's not as invasive. So that might make things a little easier on men. But I think in general, men are a little afraid of finding out anything about their health. You know, men are supposed to be invincible. You know, you're supposed to be strong and you're not supposed to be ill. And it's not, you know, what is acceptable for many men to be, especially if you've got, you know, these macho type attitudes and those kinds of things. And so, yeah, so one of the things, that's another thing with, there's a group called Hombre a Hombre or Man to Man, which are support groups for men with prostate cancer. And they really help each other out. But one of the big things for men that is quite, I would say, frightening is a lot of the times that they know or have heard that, you know, that there might be impotency issues, which is a big issue for men because that takes away their virility and it takes away their what they consider their manliness and their manhood. And so that's one of those things why it might be easier to bury your head in the sand.
We've heard for years that if you eat this, if you eat that, it's known to cause cancer in rats. And for years we've heard about, you know, cigarette smoking. And finally, it was the, you know, Surgeon General decided to put that on the package. But somehow, and it seems almost like a double standard here, the fact that cigarettes are bad for you if you smoke, and you know, there are people out there who smoke and that's your decision, but cigars are different. Cigars are manly. Cigars are distinguished. You know, Winston Churchill smoked a cigar. You know, other people always smoked cigar who were leaders, and there are even magazines devoted to cigars. And so people wonder, well, if smoking is smoking cigarettes is bad for me, then why is cigar smoking different? And why are there magazines out there? Or do they mixing granola with raisins and the tobacco or what?
No, well, actually, most cigar smoke, well, in cigar smoking, you don't inhale is one of the things. So that's where lung cancer comes in. But cigar smoking does cause mouth cancers, oral cancers, and that's another big issue. So it is the smoke, indeed, and it is the carcinogens that are placed into the tobaccos as they process these products.
And that's another thing that, you know, there are certain rites of passage that in other countries, they have rites of passage where they have puberty, you know, ceremonies, and a man or a boy or a girl becomes a man or a woman. And here in the United States, we have a few, not very many. But sometimes smoking is considered a rite of passage because you're seen with a cigarette, you look cool, and you are a man or you are a woman, etc. And so there's a lot of peer pressure out there among the young people, and people seems like they're starting to smoke, you know, a lot younger. Although when you look at old movies, black and white movies, 12 Angry Men is a good example. Dennis and I were screening that for our students, and we pointed out that just about everybody was smoking a cigarette, and it's like they lit one right after another. So they make it almost like pleasurable. You're cool if you smoke this.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, what better way, or what more instantaneous a way to act grown up? You know, that's one of the things that I think why it appeals to teenagers. Plus, there's a certain level of danger to it. And, you know, when you're an adolescent, that kind of appeals to you because, you know, again, as you said, it makes you feel cool. I think that's why one of the major components of public health education is to reach those teens and to show them what a diseased lung looks like, and to show them what oral cancers look like. And there, it's not a pretty picture. And it's something that can help them to understand that this is what I'm putting myself at risk for. But I do believe that it has to be a conscious public health effort.
And you and I have a mutual friend who has suffered from oral cancer. And, you know, sometimes, especially cowboys, not always cowboys, but, you know, snuff or chewing tobacco, again, makes you look cool. And I'm just going to do it for a little while. It's just a little, like that Walt Garrison used to say, just a pinch between your cheek and gum ought to do it. But after a while, you know, they don't realize that this is very addictive. And depending on if you have an addictive personality, oral cancer can be something horrible. And as I mentioned, you and I have a mutual friend, and people don't realize how it affects you, how, you know, not just that, but they have to do grafting, plastic surgery. Sometimes you lose your voice, et cetera. And it's not good for you, but it's also awful for your friends and family who have to endure this.
Absolutely. And I see that it also is an issue that kind of isolates individuals, because they might feel a little awkward once they have the voice boxes or they have lips removed and things like that. Those surgeries are obvious, you know, as opposed to, you know, some that you can hide under clothing and thing and those situations. But this is your face, and it shows. And so I think for a lot of people that can become a very isolationist situation. And so that I think can also add to depression. And so it in the long run, you can see how it's just not worth the pinch in the lip and those kinds of things. But yeah, I do believe and have seen that many, for some reason, it is a strong pattern amongst, you know, the country folk, the cowboy folk, the farm workers and those kinds of individuals. I don't know what the appeal is or why it's rampant in those communities, but I do see that quite often.
This is something that perhaps you can't answer because you're not a physician, but it may be addressed during this event that's coming up. And the name of the event, again, is called Keep On Dancing, which will be taking place on Saturday, August 24th. And it's a conference on cancer survivorship. And one of the things, of course, is pain management. And people realize that people who have had someone with cancer realize that, you know, sometimes even the morphine is not helping their loved one. But the issue, again, and as I mentioned, you're not a professional, so this could be your opinion, my opinion, whatever. But the medicinal marijuana issue keeps coming up again and again. And my thoughts are, you know, if it's going to help the person get relief, in my opinion, when a person is that far out as far as the disease and pain, seeking pain relief, they're not looking for a way to enjoy themselves, to get high, to be recreational, etc.
That, and yes, and I'm not qualified to speak on that either, but it is a pressing issue. It's something that's going to have to come up, I think, nationally. It has come up statewide. But nationally, there's still some complications. And I agree with you. And in my personal opinion, that's just mine, is that I think the relief from that pain is paramount. It helps a person cope. And another thing that medicinal marijuana helps with is in appetite. A lot of patients who are going through chemotherapy find themselves nauseous, and that can help improve their appetites. And if ever at any time you're going to need an appetite and need to keep your nutrition levels up, it would be during a bout with cancer.
And again, we want to repeat that this is strictly our opinion. We're not professionals. The views expressed this are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KTUP. Let's go back to the conference. Tell us a little bit about what people can expect, because I know that you have panels of some great speakers and great events happening. So why don't you kind of take us through it, if you don't mind.
Sure. It's a multi-track conference. And in that, well, one of the great things that we've added is that we have simultaneous Spanish translations. So we're real happy about that. So we're able to invite our Spanish-speaking community as well to come listen. And one of the great things, our keynote speaker this year is a woman named Eva Grazel. Speaking of oral cancer, she is a survivor of stage 4 oral cancer. She's a great inspirational speaker, and she's done a lot in terms of creating awareness so that people get themselves checked and they know to seek the signs and symptoms of oral cancer. And she's doing a really great topic called Tongue Tied: Story Not Silenced by Oral Cancer. And so we're real proud of that. And as you were talking about pain management, we do have a panel of three doctors and moderated by Catherine Berg-Pettit. And she's a great moderator. So that's a really great issue to talk about. We also have some really some healing and holistic type of workshops that are going on, such as yoga for the cancer patient and spirituality and healing and maintaining healthy relationships through communication. Getting Your Legal Stuff Up to Snuff by Stephanie Townsend Ayala. So we kind of cover the whole gamut of what it is to be going through cancer. So we deal with the physical portion, the spiritual portion, the holistic portion, and the emotional aspects. And all of that is available in multi-tracks. And so it's on Saturday, August 24th. It will be at the Wyndham Hotel. There is a cover charge for it, and it's $25, but that covers meals only. So all of the speakers are free. So it is a great, as you can imagine, that it is exponentially, you're getting a wealth more of than $25 worth. We do have some scholarships available. We have some kind people in the community that donate $25, and that can cover someone who can't afford to go.
So you're talking about perhaps someone who is a cancer survivor or who has a loved one, and they would like to go, but they can't afford to go. Because people who have gone through cancer treatment realize that it's very expensive. And some insurance companies, tend to not want to cover certain things. They'd rather... which I don't understand, again, this is my opinion. Why would you not want to do something that's preventive and wait until something happens? And so what you're going to talk what that panel that you mentioned there as far as pain management, I'm sure that they're going to hear a lot of options, the people are. Plus, the spectators themselves, attendees, might have a way that they cope as well.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the best parts about this this conference is that it is a unique situation to be going through cancer and to be going through the treatment for it. But the camaraderie that's built on that day amongst those that have that share their experiences and have shared, both their emotional and their practical solutions for dealing with certain aspects of their cancer. That is one of the most priceless interactions that occurs at this conference. New friendships are forged and support systems are created, and somebody may have done something that you didn't think about and you think, oh, well, why didn't I do that? Let me get on that. And that was something. Or somebody may have tried a certain holistic approach and found it to be useful, and they can tell somebody else about it. Oh, I added this to my coping mechanism, and it really helped me a whole lot.
You know, you mentioned communication, and that is very important. There's a book that stands out. Deborah, I can't remember the lady's last name, but she's an expert on communication. And the title of the book is You Didn't Understand What I'm Saying. And when we encounter somebody who has had cancer or who has just been diagnosed, sometimes we don't want to know what to say. And some of my colleagues here were very kind to me and have been very kind. So when my lovely wife was diagnosed, and the fact that I talked to some other colleagues whose spouses were also affected, and they said, people try and be kind, but sometimes with their good intentions, they say the dumbest or the stupidest things that not intending to.
Sure. Yeah. That one of the ones that is kind of universal, and it's meant, I'm sure, with very good intentions, but it's everything's going to be all right. And when you're in the middle of a storm and it doesn't feel that way, that can be really upsetting. I think more than anything, what most people need to learn as they – if when they encounter this amongst their colleagues or amongst their friends or family is simply to say, I'm here to listen.
As far – you're absolutely right. And listening is something that people – you know, we as – As people in general, I guess, not just Americans, we – and Dennis and I were talking about this in our announcing class, the fact that people feel like there can't be any silence. And if there's just a few seconds of silence, they need to fill that gap. And so sometimes they feel like they need to be talking where all they need to do is just listen. Or sometimes that person doesn't even want to say anything, but just the fact that they have someone near them, with them, in case they want to say something, makes them feel better.
Absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right about silence. It makes people uncomfortable. Another thing that makes people uncomfortable is tears. Oftentimes, when somebody cries, we tend to pat it away, hug it, pat it away, try to wipe it up and clean it up. But sometimes tears are very healing and very necessary. They're a very necessary release. It's the body's way of reacting to emotion. And it frightens people sometimes. And another is anger, because oftentimes those who are facing a potentially terminal illness find themselves angry because they're in this situation. And so the anger can be frightening for people as well. When I train volunteers, I often talk about this, that sometimes your best intentions of greeting someone in the lobbies at the treatment centers may be rebuffed, but it's probably not about you. It's because some folks are finding themselves pretty frustrated with the process. And, and sometimes there's a why me kind of question. I never smoked, or I ate correctly, I exercised, and still this has happened. And so I think one needs to be a little sensitive towards the various amounts. Human beings are complicated creatures, and there may be a lot that's being filtered through all of that. And so it sometimes takes forms that are a little frightening. So I think silence sometimes is probably the best thing, and just listening.
One of the things, Izzy, that I find difficult to deal with is when I was at MD Anderson is when you see a child who has cancer. Is that going to be addressed at this conference, childhood cancer?
Actually, no, not at this conference. We just held a conference for adult survivors of childhood cancer called Cancer 180. It was a collaboration with MD Anderson, as a matter of fact. They had come to El Paso and put on this workshop. And it's for those individuals who are ages 18 through 44 who are survivors of childhood cancer, because they have a lot of different issues than the average adult, their fertility issues and whatnot. But for the conferences and those issues, the organization, which is another one of our grantees, the Candlelighters of the El Paso area, they are the experts in that. So we really prefer to leave that to them, because they know how to deal with their parents and how to teach them how to care for their children. In our libraries in the greenhouse, we do have a children's health section, which is geared towards the guardians or parents of children who have cancer. But that is as far as we go. We leave the rest of the education to the Candlelighters, because they're very capable.
What about caregivers? Sometimes they feel lost. They feel like they're not doing enough, or perhaps doing so much. And sometimes they don't know how to reach out to people and say, I need help.
Absolutely.
Because they're exhausted.
Absolutely. And this year, at this year's conference, we did not include a caregivers workshop. We have in the last 4 years, though. And another program that we offer is called the Alliance, which provides an experienced survivor or caregiver to a newly diagnosed patient or to a newly entered caregiver. So because somebody has already been there, They have already walked that path. They already know a few of the things that help work for them. And so they can guide someone who's new to this role. And so we have a section for caregivers. So an experienced caregiver can say, for instance, you know what I did with mouth sores? I provided ice chips. Those kinds of things, simple things.
Give us again the information as far as when does it start, what day, where it's going to be, and what people need to do to register.
Absolutely. It's Saturday, August 24th, and it will be at the Wyndham Hotel that's over by the airport. And registration begins at 7 a.m. There is online registration if you visit our website at www.rgcf.org. RGCF is the acronym for Rio Grande Cancer Foundation. And under Programs and Resources, you'll find the Keep on Dancing tab, and there is a link. It says click here, and it'll carry you through to online registration. If you'd like a registration form mailed to you, we'll be happy to do so. Just call us at 915-562-7660. And we'll be happy to do that. Or you can drop by our offices at 10460 Vista del Sol, Suite 101. We're inside the Del Sol Oncology Center across from GECU between Yarborough and Sumac Drive.
And once again, as you mentioned, registration, early registration, 7 a.m. How long does this conference go?
It goes up all day long until 5 p.m. We have a really neat thing that we added to to our program, and it's a basket Chinese auction. We have these wonderful baskets, such as a coffee basket, a wine basket, a gardening basket, baby baskets, and those kinds of situations, an art basket, and people bid with tickets, and they drop them into a Chinese auction box, and then we make announcements at the end of the day. It's a really great and exciting thing, and you spend a couple of dollars and you get hundreds of dollars worth of items, and they're all donated by our local merchants here in our community who are very generous, and it's a fun situation.
Pardon my ignorance, but what's a Chinese auction?
Oh, Chinese auction? Well, you have an auction item, and you know the Chinese takeout boxes? We cut a little hole in the top, and you buy tickets, and you take, you know, it's one of those keep this end, and then you drop the other one with your name and address in the back. And so you drop that into the box, and it's kind of like a betting situation, but, you know, that gets mixed up, and then one ticket is drawn. Whoever is drawn, they get that item.
Well, thank you very much for being with us here today. Izzy Mora, who is with the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation, once again, Keep on Dancing, which will be taking place Saturday, the 24th of August. Registration, early registration, 7 a.m. If you need additional information, 562, is it 7600?
7660.
7660. And so call and set up your reservations. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Louie.
This episode, along with past programs of Perspectives, may be found under our website, ktep.org. Click on the Listen button, then the Archives, and then scroll down to Perspectives. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, all rights reserved 2013 by KTEP. For more information on the Keep on Dancing Cancer Survivor Conference, go to rgcf.org or 562-7660.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.